Today's shiur is Masechta Avos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Daled. Before we begin the Mishnah, a short Hagdama. If one looks in Mishnayis, such as the one that I am reading from right now, which is Kohati, or Mishnayis Yochanan Boyas, or Mishnayis found in the Gemara, which brings down Masechta Avos, and one compares all those different versions of Mishnayis compared to what is written in the Siddurim, such as Art Scroll Siddur or other Siddurim, we find that the division of the Mishnayis in the Mishnayis is different from what it is in many or perhaps most or all Siddurim. And this difference is apparent here in our Mishnah. If you look in the Mishnayis, you will find that Mishnah Daled begins with the words Hu Haya Oimer. A few lines down, you have Hillel Oimer, Al Tifrish Menat Sibur, and that's all part of this Mishnah. However, in the Siddurim, it is divided, this Mishnah is divided into two Mishnayis. Mishnah Daled begins Hu Haya Oimer, Mishnah Hay begins with Hillel Oimer. And if you look further, you discover the following. Perik Aleph and Perik Vav of Pirkei Avos is identical in the division in Mishnayis and Siddurim. However, Perik Beis, Gimel, Daled Hay are divided differently in the Mishnayis, beginning with our Mishnah right here, as opposed to how they're divided in the Siddurim. And you will notice that in the Mishnayis, Perek Beis has 16 Mishnahs, whereas in the Siddur, due to the different division, there's 21 Mishnayis. In Perek Gimel, there in the Mishnayis, there are 18 Mishnahs. In the Siddurim, there are 23 Mishnayis. In Perek Daled, in the Mishnayis, there are 22. In the Siddurim, there are 29. And finally, in Perek Hay, in the Mishnayis, there are 23. In the Siddurim, there are 26 Mishnayis. Now, what the Siddurim based it on, I do not know. If anyone knows why the Siddurim divided or on what they based their division on different than what we have in all standard texts of the Mishnayis, I would greatly appreciate if you could inform me at grossman@ou.org. Let us begin the Mishnah. Hu Haya Oimer. We, of course, will go with the Seder of the Mishnayis as we find it in the Gemara, in Yochanan Boyas, and in Mishnayis Kohati. So, Hu Haya Oimer with Hillel Oimer will be all part of Mishnah Daled. Hu Haya Oimer, we're referring back to what we learned before in Mishnah Beis, Rabban Gamliel Benoi Shel Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Oimer. So he said also the following, Asei Ritzoinoi Kirtzoinecho, make the will of Hashem that it should be the same as your will. Why? Kidei Sheyasa Ritzoinoch Kirtzoinoi, so that the Rabban Shalom should make your will to be like his will. The Rav explains that this means, Pazer Memoincha Becheftei Shemayim, you should spend money for objects of Kedusha, Ki ilu pazarta oisam b'cheftzecho, as if you were spending them for your own needs. She'im asisa kein, if you did this, which is asei ritzoinoi kirtzoinecho, you spent as much for cheftze shemayim, for things that Hashem requires, as your own possessions, what will Hashem grant you? Yase ritzoincha kirtzoinik loimer, yiten lecha toive b'ayin yofet. Then Hashem, in his benevolence, will give you much good, which is what you desire. And then the Mishnah continues, Batel Ritzoinach Mepnei Ritzoinai, nullify your will in front of his will. If your will is different than his will, if it's not what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants you to do, then nullify your will in front of his will. Why? What will you gain with that? So that Hashem will nullify the wish of others in front of your wish. The Rav explains that what does it mean, Ritzon Acherim? So the simple explanation is the will of those Hakamim Alech L'Ra, those of your enemies who come up against you to do evil to you, if you were mevatel your will in front of Hashem's will, Hashem will be mevatel, he will nullify their will to do you harm against your will, where, of course, you do not want harm. However, then the Rav says, V'ani shamati, I heard a different explanation, that Ritzoin Acherim is not actually referring to one's enemies, but this is Derech Kovet Hu Klapi Maila. This is a honorable way of mentioning Hashem. It's as if the Mishnah would have said, Kidei sheyivatel Ritzoinoi mipnei Ritzoinecha, in order that Hashem will be mevatel his will in front of your will. But we don't want to say it outright, referring to Hashem as his will, so we say it euphemistically, Ritzon Acherim, the will of others. But really we're referring in a kavodik manner to the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If Hashem would want to do something wrong to you, then he will be mevatel it. As the Rav quotes the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, Kala Oisa Mitzvah Kemamora, whoever does a mitzvah as Hashem said it should be done, as it's written in the Torah, afilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu goyiz gzeira, even if Hashem has decreed something should happen to a person, hu mevatla, he will be mevatlet. I just read this Gemara in Shabbos here from the Kohati. Actually, if you look in the Rav, when he quotes this Gemara in Shabbos Samach Gimel, he says the Lashon is that afilu gzar din shel ayin shanim is batel me'alav. Even a decree which is 70 years old will become nullified if you do precisely what the will of Hashem is. The Rishon Litzion points out that if you look in the Gemara in Shabbos Samach Gimel, you will see that there seems to be an error in the words of the Rav, and the correct text of the Gemara is as the Kohati quotes here, we don't have that part that the Rav quoted, a gzar din of 70 years. Now the Tosfos Yontiv points out that the Mishnah here is giving us the positive and the negative. On the positive side, we begin by saying, do the will of Hashem like your will, so that he should do your will like his will. And then on the negative side, if you wanted to do an Aveira, Hashem says, be mevatel your will if it is not the will of Hashem, if Hashem doesn't want you to do that act, so that in turn Hashem will protect you either from your enemies, or he will be mevatel any gzeira that he has made against you. There is a very beautiful pshat that is brought down here in the Sefer that Rabbi Wein has authored on the Pirkei Avos, which is known as Teachings for Our Times. And since it pertains to Rabbi Alexander Rosenberg Zitzel, who was the founding rabbinic administrator of the Orthodox Union Kashrus Division, and this is an OU-sponsored shiur, I'd like to repeat this story that Rabbi Wein brings down that pertains to the Mishnah. And I am now quoting from Rabbi Wein's explanation. Rabbi Gamliel restates the basic Jewish guide for living, that one should try to make his will and goals coincide with those of Hashem, as expressed in the Torah and Jewish tradition. The question that should always be uppermost in our minds is, what does Hashem think about this? Is my will identical with the standards of Hashem's Torah? I am reminded of an incident that deeply affected me. I was once in the office of the late and great Rabbi Alexander Rosenberg, the founding rabbinic administrator of the Orthodox Union Kashrus Division. A Holocaust survivor was in the office attempting to obtain immediate OU approval for a product of his. And in parentheses, Rabbi Wein adds, Rabbi Rosenberg had enormous empathy with such people, many of whom took unfair advantage of his compassion. End of parentheses. The man wanted to bypass the normal procedure of applications, inspections, rabbinic and lay commissions approval, and contract signing, which sometimes took months, and he was in a hurry. Unabashedly, he offered Rabbi Rosenberg a 5% interest in the profits of this product as a reward for expediting OU approval on the spot. Rabbi Rosenberg remained silent, his eyes half closed. The man persisted and upped the ante to 7.5%. Rabbi Rosenberg continued his silence. Completely misinterpreting Rabbi Rosenberg's silence as a bargaining position, the man proposed 10% as a final offer. Rabbi Rosenberg opened his eyes fully and gazed directly at the man and asked him, "Und was sagt Gott dazu?" And what would God say about such a transaction? And Rabbi Wein concludes, "The main question in life is, what would God say about this? Our will should follow His will. Our behavior should be in consonance with His standards. That is the fulfillment of a true Jewish life." Continues with the next part of the Mishnah, which, as we mentioned before, in the Agdama, in our Mishnayos, is all part of Mishnah Dalet, Hillel Oimer. Now, we have to ask ourselves the question, what is Hillel doing in this Mishnah? We are discussing, in the beginning of the Mishnah, Rav Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. And Hillel was, in fact, the great, 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 five times great grandfather of Hillel, the son of Rabbi Gamliel, who is the son of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. So if we are talking about the five times great grandfather, Hillel, then why would he be mentioned in this Mishnah? Now, the Tosfos Yontif brings down from the Sefer Asorah Mamorois, who says that this Hillel is in fact the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. He's not Hillel HaZaken, the great-great-grandfather. And the Sefer Asorah Mamorois explains that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was Mekayim in his own person, the Pasuk of Lo Yamushu Mipicho Mipizaracho Mipizerezaracho, that Torah would never be forgotten from the person, his children, and his grandchildren. So he wanted to demonstrate that here you have Rabbi Yehuda Anasi at the beginning of this perek, Sheni, Rabbi Oimer, and then his son, Rabbi Gamliel Benoish, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, and now the grandson, Hillel, the son of Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. So now, explains the Asorah Mamorois, according to this pshat, the next Mishnah, hey, where it says, Hu hoyo Oimer, ein bur yirei chet, that, in fact, is from Hillel HaZaken. Except he wants to say that there's a mistake, because we're speaking about two Hillels here. The Hillel of our Mishnah is the son of Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. The Hillel in the next Mishnah of Ein Bur Yirei Chet is the great-great-grandfather. So it shouldn't have said at the beginning of the Mishnah, Hu Hayo Oimer. Because it should have said, Hillel HaZaken Oimer. Or somehow we should have known that it's not the Hillel, the son of Ram Gamliel, but rather his great-great-great-grandfather. So he says there's a mistake here with those who put into our next Mishnah, hey, Hu Hayo Oimer, because in fact it's two different Hillels. On this pshat of the Sefer Asorah Mamorois, the Tosfos Yontif says, Im Kabbalah hi nekabel. If this is a tradition, then we'll have to accept it. But in Ladin, if you want to know what I actually feel is the correct pshat here, we see that all the Mephorshim did not learn like the Sefer Asorah Mamorois. For example, Rashi and the Pirish in the Gemara, where the Mishnayos of Ovis are brought in Shas, Rashi there says that this is Hillel, is Hillel HaZaken, She'amar Lamala B'Perek Aleph, the one who spoke in Perek Aleph. We have to find out why is Hillel in Perek Aleph, who was already mentioned there with Shammai, his contemporary, his friend, why is he mentioned again here when we've already gone through many generations after the Hillel HaZaken? We'll answer that question in a moment. The Rambam also there on the Pirish in Ovis in Shas says that when Hillel says at the end of our Mishnah, the last statement, Al Tomer L'Kishefna Eshna Shema Loisipana, don't say when I have time to learn, I'll learn, because maybe you'll never have time. He's echoing what his friend Shammai Chaveroi said, Asei Torah Sekva, which we had in the first Perek, make your Torah permanent. Don't make it a temporary thing. So, but how do you do that? By not always procrastinating and say, I will learn when I have time. Do it right now. Establish your set kviyas itim la Torah. So we see again from the Lashon of the Rambam that the Rambam calls Hillel here as echoing the words of Shammai Chaveroi, Shammai his friend. So obviously, according to the Rambam and Rashi, we're not speaking about Hillel, the son of Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yudah Nasi. We're speaking about Hillel Zaken. Your question is a good one. Why is Hillel Zaken mentioned here? But don't go and tell me it's not Hillel Zaken, it's Hillel, the son of Rabbi Gamliel. Why, in fact, says the Tosfos Yontav, is Hillel mentioned here? Hillel HaZaken? One of two reasons. First of all, we learned before that Rabbi Gamliel said that Kolam, in Mishnah base, Kolam Melim Matzibur, Yuha Melim Mam L'Shem Shemayim. Whoever works with a congregation should do it for the sake of heaven. So on that, Hillel is going to now say, Al Tifrish Min HaTzibur, never separate yourself from the Tzibur. So it's connected to that which his descendant from Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yudah Nasi, said. Another answer, says the Tosfos Yontav, is because in Mishnah Ches, going according to the Seder of the Mishnayos, not the way we have it in the Sidurim, but the way we are going to be learning all our Mishnayos, according to the Seder of Mishnayos, it's here, Perek Beis, Mishnah Ches, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Kibel Mehil Mishamai, and Umishamai, and since we are now progressing with the Mesoras HaTorah, the transference of the tradition of Torah from one generation to the other. And who did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai get it from? He received it, the Mesorah, from Hillel and Shammai. Therefore, right before we mention Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, we go back and we say a few different thoughts of his great, illustrious Rebbe, the Hillel HaZaken. That's why Hillel HaZaken is put out of sequence, out of order, in order to reestablish the chain of Mesorah from one generation to the other, which was from Hillel and Shammai to their great Talmud, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Continues the Mishnah, Hillel Oimer Al Tifrish Min HaTzibur, do not separate yourself from the Tzibur. Now, before we continue, I just want to mention that in the Mishnayos, you will find that the Pirush Shinui Nuschois brings down that there were those who said it was Reb Hillel Oimer. And how did they come to that mistake, it's Reb Hillel? Because, again, we're not talking about Reb Hillel. We're not talking about Hillel, the son of Ram Gamliel. We're talking about Hillel HaZaken. But interesting, he says, how did they come to that mistake? Because there were those who said that Mishnah Dalet begins with Hillel Oimer. So who are you Oimer at the beginning of Mishnah Dalet? Apparently they put together with the last Mishnah Gimel Havazah here in Bereshus. They started a new Mishnah Dalet. We see from this Shinui Nuschois that they're were already different versions of where each Mishnah ended and each Mishnah began. So there were those who had Mishnah Dalet beginning with Hillel Oimer, not the way it's in the Sidurim that Mishnah Hay starts with Hillel Oimer, rather was Mishnah Dalet, and then someone made a mistake. He saw the Dalet, he thought that Dalet is a Reish, and he put in here, it's Reb Hillel Oimer. So the way we have it in our Mishnayos, it's not Mishnah Hay, it's not a new Mishnah Dalet, it's part of the old Mishnah Dalet that began at Hu Ayo Omer. It's not Reb Hillel, it's not Hillel the son of Ram Gamliel, it's Hillel HaZaken. He said, Al Tifrish Min HaTzibur, don't do things alone, although it's difficult sometimes to do things with others together, but the Tzibur has a power. The Gemara in Tainus Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph tells us that Bizman Sheyisrael Shurim Betzar, when Klal Yisrael is in pain, Upirish Echemen, when one of them goes away and he goes by himself, separates from the Tzar of the Tzibur, Borim Shnei Malachi Ashoras, two angels come, Shemalavim Le'Adam, who always go together with a person. They put their hands on his head, and they say, this person who separated himself from the community, he should never merit to see in the comfort that the tzibur will one day get. And the Gemara there continues, "Bizman shat tzibur shori b'tzar al yomer adam, a person should not say, 'Elech lebeis, I'll go to my house, v'oichal, I'll eat, v'eshtal, I'll drink, v'shalom alecha nafshi, and peace be it, I don't care about what the tzibur is going through.' El yitzar adam ha'tzibur, a person should have pain together with the rest of the community. V'chol ha'mitzar atzmei ha'tzibur, whoever has shares the pain, the suffering of the tzibur, zochev roa benachamas tzibur, he will see and merit in the comfort of the tzibur. Continues Hillel and says, "Val tamen ba'atzmach ad yom masach, do not trust yourself until the day you die. The yetzahara continues with a person until the moment of death, and we see this by none greater than Yoichan and Kohen Gadol, who the Gemara tells us in Brachas Daf Chaf Tes Amud Aleph, Shimesh beKohuna Gadol Shmonim Shana, he was a Kohen Gadol for 80 years, and in the end, he became a Tzduki. He went away and stopped believing in Torah Shebal Peh, in the Mesoras HaTorah from the Chachmei Hador. So we see that even a person who was a Kohen Gadol for 80 years, that means that he went into the Kotzer HaKadoshim, and he came out alive, that he had not done an Avera for 80 years, because had he done an Avera, he would have perished in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and yet, at the end, even he had a Yetzirah, and he succumbed to his Yetzirah. So don't feel smug about yourself, that you're on a good level. Always watch out for the Yetzirah, who will try to bring you down. Continues Hillel, "Val todin es chaverich eshadagil mekoymai. Don't judge your friend until you reach his place. If you see that your friend has fallen through an avera, don't be against him. Don't judge him lekafchova. Be until you reach the same nesoyin as he does, and see if you can withstand that nesoyin." And the Miri says here a very interesting pshat. Al tarin es chaverech. If you see your friend, he looks like a big tzaddik. Somebody new person moved into the neighborhood or is visiting from another city. Don't judge him. Ad shetagilim kaimai. First, see how he acts in his own place. When you come to his local community, and then when you see how he's with his family and with his friends, how he acts, then you get the true nature of what this person is. But in this strange community that he finds himself now, he may act very piously, and he may really not be on that level. So don't judge him to see his true character until you reach his place and see how he acts in his natural habitat. The Rambam and the Rav say various pshatim here. One pshat the Rambam says is, make your words clear to begin with. Don't say, "I'll speak in a confused way, but I'm going to say enough that whoever will try to understand what I'm saying and will spend a lot of time on trying to figure out what I mean, he'll eventually arrive at the truth." That's not how you impart Torah information from one person to another. Al tomar dover sheyefshir lishmaya shesoyfer lishamaya. Don't say, even though it's what I'm saying at first is confusing, but the end, it'll be able to be understood. That's not good enough. It has to be able to be understood immediately, clearly. Otherwise, the person who's listening may not take the trouble to figure out what you mean, and he'll come away with things that are wrong. Our minus, our apikorsis, are against the Torah. So speak clearly from the start. A second pshat concerns a secret. Don't say that I'll tell the secret to one person and no one else will find out about it. Or I'll say it to myself out loud because no one's listening. As we find in Koheles Perek Yud Pasuk Chaf, the Pasuk says, "Ki oifa shemayim yoylech hasakol." The bird of the sky will bring your voice, your message. In other words, you're on one side of a wall. How do you know who's listening on the other side of the wall? You're going in a field. How do you know who's behind the tree and hears you in the field? And on this, the Chazal said, which we find in a Yalkut Shemayni in Keheles, Oznayim Lekaisel, there is ears to the wall. It's interesting that Rashi in Brachas of Chestam and Beis brings down this Maimer Chazal, but instead of saying it's a Chazal, Rashi says, Kid Amre Inchi, like there's a folklore, there's an expression, that an idiom that people say, and that is the walls have ears. And in fact, it's surprising that Rashi considers this Kid Amre Inchi when, as we mentioned, it's a Yalkut, and the Yalkut, in fact, takes it from many other midrashim. For example, Vayikra Rabba and Parshas Emor in Perik Lamed Beis, Parsha Lamed Beis, or Kehelis Rabba, Parsha Yud. So it's interesting that Rashi says Kida Amri Inchi. In fact, it's a Maimer Chazal. But the truth is a truth, and that is, don't say on something that you think it'll never be found out, because as we know, many secrets that people don't want others to know, at the end, Shasayfili Shama, it becomes known to the public. And Rashi has a different girsa here, as the Rav brings down, Al Tomer Davar She'efshar L'shmoya, Shasayfili Shama. Don't say on something that you could learn now, that why bother learning it now, I'll do it later. And that's very similar to the last mimer of Hillel in this Mishnah. Al Tomer L'shpana Eshna, don't say when I have free time, I'll learn. Shemalai Sipana, maybe you'll never have free time. As we said before, this, the Rambam tells us, is an echo of what Shammai said in Perek Aleph, that there should be a kvius, a say, taras chakva. You have to set aside every day a certain time to learn, because if you're going to only learn when you have free time, every day some other, the Yetzer will make sure that something, some other activity will come to disturb you, and you'll never learn, and you'll remain a amoritz. And maybe that ties into the next Mishnah, where we start speaking about people who are not learned. Hu hoya oimer. And as we mentioned before, the simple pshat is that the hu hoya oimer refers back to Mishnah Dalid, and we're speaking about Hillel Hazaken, Ein Bur Yirei Chet, a person who's a boor, an ignoramus, which the definition of a boor is someone who not only is not learned in Torah, but he's not even learned in the ways of the world. He doesn't know how business matters are conducted, and he has no connection with people. So such a person cannot fear sin, because he doesn't know what sin is all about, what's virtuous and what's sinful. V'loy amoritz, and even a person who's an amoritz, he's not a boor. He is knowledgeable in the ways of the world. He does have connection with other people. He knows that you're not supposed to steal or cheat someone. But such a person, he cannot be a chassid. He cannot be a pious person. Chassid is l'fnim mishur sadin, to do more than the din requires. Because that is only possible by someone who is learned in Torah, and the Torah makes the person pure, and he has a pure heart. Such a person can become a chassid. And amoretz, the most he could become, is someone who keeps the halacha, but he could never come to the higher level of being a chassid. V'loy abay shalomid, a person who is always shameful. He's ashamed that if he asks a question and people will know that he doesn't know this piece of knowledge, and he's embarrassed to let everybody know, he'll never learn. He'll never be able to get answers to his questions. So you have to put aside your shame in order to learn, and you have to ask questions. And now Hillel tells us about the teacher, V'loy hakabdun melamed, a person who's very strict, has no flexibility, who doesn't show a fine face to the questioner, who's always grumpy, who's upset, who's makbid, he's very strict and stern. No one will want to ask him questions. No one will want to learn from him. V'loy hakabdun melamed. He has to be a savlon. He has to be patient. That's the only way that he could be an effective teacher of Torah to Klal Yisrael. V'loy kol amar b'schar machim. And not everyone who dabbles a lot in business will become learned in the Torah. As Chazal tell us, the Gemara in Erev and Daf Nun Hei Amud Aleph, and the Gemara in Nida, Daf Ayin Amud Aleph, The Gemara says that loy me'ever layami on that pasuk, Torah is not across the ocean. Ein haTorah mitzuya b'mahalcha me'ever layam. Torah is not found amongst those who go across the ocean. It's not by the sachronim and tagorim. It's not by the business people. If a person occupies himself too much with business, and so the Gemara in Nida Daf Ayin says, Sholo Anshe Alexandria, Esher Yeshua ben Chananya, Ma Yasa Adam V'Yachim, what should a person do and become knowledgeable in Torah? Amar Lahem, Yarba B'Yeshiva Yumat B'Shchayra. He should have a lot of yeshiva learning and be a minimum of schora. He has to do parnasa, but he should not engage most of his day in parnasa. Most of his day he should try to dedicate to Torah, and through that he will become a Talmud Chacham and not remain an Amma Oretz. Continues Hillel, ubemakom she'ein anashim hishtadol liyosish, where in a place where there are no people, he should still try to be ish, which is a higher form than an adam. He should be learned in Torah. Even if he cannot find anashim to teach him Torah, he should still learn Torah on his own to develop into an ish. Today, Baruch Hashem, with all kinds of media that we have, there is no excuse for anyone to not become a major Talmud Chacham. All he needs is the will to sit and learn, and he has everything at his fingertips to make him into a great, knowledgeable Talmud Chacham. And the final pshat here on this last part of the Mishnah is, if you're in a place, she'ein anashim, that no one is oisik b'tzarchei tzibur, no one is taking care of the needs of the community, hishtadol liyos ish, then you have to step into the situation and you say, I will be that person who will make sure that all that the community needs, that their needs are met, and that the Jewish community functions in the proper way. You be that man.